Today is August 2nd, 2007, and this is Adam Groves from the Illinois Fire Service Institute talking to Mike Morrow from the Peoria Fire Department. We are discussing Vernon Goodatt, who died in the line of duty in 1983. Can you tell me about the history of the Peoria Fire Department?
Basically, Peoria Fire Department became a professional fire department in 1875. The city's grown, obviously, throughout the years, like all cities have. At the time of 1983, the city was probably about 44 square miles. Captain Goodatt was a captain on Engine 10. I was a firefighter on Engine 2. At that time, we had about five engines that were two-man engine companies. The rest were three-man engine companies. And we responded to fire suppression, rescue, and medical calls.
Okay. Can you tell me anything about Captain Goodatt and his career?
Time of death, I believe Butch was 38 years old. He had 15 years on a fire department. Again, he was a captain on Engine 10. Worked his way up through the ranks, was very respected by everybody on the fire department. For me personally, I looked at him as a mentor because he was the kind of guy that, he was an aggressive interior firefighter, was the kind of guy that, you know, when I was a young man then, I was on a vacation relief position where I would go to different firehouses, and it was always a special deal to be able to go to the Station 10 because Captain Goodatt was there, and you knew that if you got a fire, you were going to grab onto his coattails and you were going in that fire. And I mean, you just, everybody learned a lot from him, and you know, he was an excellent firefighter.
Do you remember any other interesting or unique anecdotes about him?
The one that anytime I'm asked about him that I always remember was, I probably only had a little over a year on the fire department. And at that time, he was on Engine 12. And I got called home because there was a noise in the basement. And when we got to the basement, it seemed like there was some kind of animal in there. And I can remember that as we went downstairs, Butch goes, "You don't have a ball bat or anything, do you?" And we're kind of slinking around in the basement looking for what ended up being a squirrel. We didn't find it then, but you know, I mean, that just epitomizes the way, you know, he was always, I mean, he had fun. We built a firefighters club that had burnt down in Groveland, and he was over there helping us. And I mean, it was just, it's countless. The guys that had fun with him on their off day. And, you know, one of the big things was that I always remember about him is he's got had two children, Michael and Michelle. And I mean, they were everything to him. He went to all their games, all their school things, you know, he was an awesome guy.
Okay, can you please describe the incident in which Captain Goodatt died in the line of duty?
It was January 23rd, 1983. And I believe the alarm came in about 1 a.m. It was a two-story building, multiple use. One end of it was apartments. And then there were three businesses on the first floor, and then apartments above those businesses. When I responded on Engine 2, we had what was then our regular response of two engines, a truck, a rescue squad, battalion chief, and an assistant chief. My first assignment was to go in with my captain, and we checked upstairs apartments. It elevated to a second alarm and then a third alarm, which was when Captain Goodatt responded. We were in the process of moving from an alley in the rear of the building when Engine 10 arrived. Captain Goodatt came around to the back of the building and was advancing a 2.5-inch hand line because those businesses were fully involved. There was like a firestorm in the whole bottom of that building. Probably no more than 10 or 15 minutes after he arrived, the ceiling collapsed and it forced the walls out, and the wall in the rear of the building crushed Captain Goodat and myself. And we went to the guys that were there. I mean, it was obviously a panic because somebody that was working an aerial ladder saw us go under the wall, and they were frantic trying to dig us out. And once they got us out, we went to separate hospitals. And so a member of the executive board, union executive board, had come up to check on me, and that's when they told me that they pronounced him dead at the hospital, but, you know, in all actuality, he died at the scene.
Okay. And you touched on this a bit. Do you know anything else about the on-scene reaction of the other firefighters when the wall collapsed?
I know that the several that were in the front didn't know that we were in the collapse. The ones in the rear, and this is all from recollection because I obviously can't remember, but they frantically started digging out. The firefighter Fred Sepp was in the aerial in the basket of truck 3, and he pinpointed us and used a wide fog screen to keep fire off of us. The word spread rather quickly, and anybody that could respond to dig us out came back around to dig us out. Obviously, they had to keep some lines on the fire, and it was pretty much, you know, chaos and panic because it's just something that thankfully doesn't happen every day.
And aside from that, was did the wall collapse have any other immediate impact on the emergency response operations at the incident?
I think for the only time in my 28 year plus career, that was the only time they called for a general response where everybody in the city, all the apparatus responded, and they were already in the process of having a call in because it was at a 3-alarm stage. But I mean, all the manpower could be there was there.
Okay. How did Captain Goodat's death affect individuals within the organization and community?
Obviously, it was a tragedy, and you know, there was a great impact on the department because of the sense of loss. I would say the community, the city of Peoria, the citizens, rallied around the fire department and supported us. Firefighters from throughout the state and some from other states showed up for the funeral to pay respects. Firefighters from everywhere showed up. We left one firefighter in each station to, you know, help guide people to alarms, and there was this massive outpour of people to come man our stations for us to be in the part of the funeral, and it was overwhelming. Probably be a good word.
Okay. How did the Peoria Fire Department or the City of Peoria memorialize Captain Goodat? Can you describe the funeral any further?
The day of the funeral, actually, I guess that would be kind of an antidote too, because I was in the hospital and the doctor was refusing to let me go to the funeral. A local company that transports people in wheelchairs volunteered to provide a vehicle for me, but my doctor refused to let me go to the funeral. So some of my brother firefighters showed up, and we let the doctor know that if he didn't let me go to the funeral, there'd be 200 firefighters and police officers who came up and volunteered to help take me out of the hospital, and I was going to the funeral. So they took me to the funeral, put me in this wheelchair van, and the procession went throughout the city, past every fire station, which was practically all of them at the time that Butch had worked at. And there was just massive outpouring of citizens that lined the route showing respect, firefighters. We received mountains of mail, sympathy cards, you know, support. It was awesome.
Can you describe any changes within the fire department as a whole following this line of duty death?
Well, our department, along with other departments, and not right at the time, but we all went to thankfully, to the incident command system, which gave more accountability for firefighters and helped with our safety. Later on that year of 1983, they hired additional firefighters, and that led to finally Peoria manning all fire machines with three people instead of two. So I think it wasn't directly changed immediately, but I think that was a catalyst for us having three men on, which we still feel are inadequate, but that made quite a change for us.
Okay, and is there anything from this incident that would be helpful to today's firefighters?
Well, kind of talking about the incident command system again, at that time, nobody was really using incident command, and it was the accountability wasn't in place like it is now. So firefighters now, I think, have a better degree of safety because of incidents like this. And I think that was the thing that led to finally having incident command was the situation, along with countless others throughout the nation.
Okay. Is there anything else that you would like to share about Captain Gudat or the Peoria Fire Department that we didn't cover during this interview?
Yeah, there is. We have, as the union, we have memorialized Captain Gudat every year since his death, and we've made special efforts on like 5-year, 10-year, 15-year, 20-year. We've always had his children there. His mom and dad would come every year, and his sister up till the time, and they've all passed. But this year, we had our memorial, and this was the 24th anniversary. I talked to his son Mike and his daughter Michelle, and after that, a couple months after that, they didn't want to let it out at the time of the memorial, but now they have the Butch Gudat Fund, which is set up to provide scholarships for firefighter, active and retired, volunteer and career, for scholarships for their kids. And also, as it grows, it's going to provide grant money to fire departments for safety equipment. So it's just in its inception. The first scholarship is going to be awarded about right around the anniversary of the 25th anniversary of his death. So his children were proud that we memorialized them over the years. And this is just a different step going in a different direction. So a way to keep his name alive and give back to the fire service.